I wanted to talk about something that it was just kind of interesting to me, and the meltdown inside the Beltway of media folks about the fact that the Washington Post decided not to make an endorsement. I guess, they historically, back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, every now and again they would make an endorsement, but it wasn't consistent, and they started to do so in 1976. And they basically endorsed a Democrat every time since 1976. With the exception of Bush versus Dukakis, they made no endorsement in that particular year, which is a little interesting. But be that as it may, obviously they've been kind of just aligned with one party, the Democrats. There were a smattering of Republican endorsements that were made by the Post in some of the down ballot races, House races, and some Senate races, but not really any trend to really talk about. There has been more representation on the editorial pages of the Post of the differences between those that lean Democrat versus lean Republican. But there's no doubt that there was bias. And what was really interesting is that Martin Barron, the Post's former executive director, when this decision was made, he said, "Cowardice with democracy as its casualty." Really interesting. There are about 11 people on the editorial review board at the Washington Post, if my memory serves me correct. And these 11 people bring into that room their prejudices, their biases, and they make a decision. And it's interesting to me that these individuals would believe that the lack of them coming together to make a recommendation of an endorsement for a presidential candidate, that democracy suffers. There was no abolition of the editorial pages writing what they wanted to about Republicans, Democrats, independents, libertarians, or otherwise. That continues on. In fact, since this decision was made, they still have been very anti-Trump and very pro-Kamala Harris. That's how it works. But this one unilateral decision, it seems to me that what they were more worried about was their loss of notoriety and leverage. Because over the years, that has become a big thing. Two major papers this year decided we're not doing that. And it's interesting to hear what Bezos said. So I'm going to read it to you. And you judge for yourself where you believe this should be. He starts by saying, "In the annual public surveys about trust and reputation, journalists and the media have regularly fallen near the very bottom, often just above Congress. But in this year's Gallup poll, we have managed to fall below Congress. Our profession is now the least trusted of all. Something we are doing is clearly not working. Let me give an analogy. Voting machines must meet two requirements. They must count the vote accurately, and the people must believe they count the vote accurately. The second requirement is distinct from and just as important as the first. Likewise with newspapers, we must be accurate, and we must be believed to be accurate. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but we are failing on the second requirement. Most people believe the media is biased. Anyone who doesn't see this is paying scant attention to reality, and those who fight reality lose. Reality is an undefeated champion. It would be easy to blame others for our long and continuing fall in credibility, and therefore decline in impact, but a victim mentality will not help. Complaining is not a strategy. We must work harder to control what we control to increase our credibility. Presidential endorsements do nothing to tip the scales of an election. No undecided voters in Pennsylvania are going to say, 'I'm going with newspaper A's endorsement.' None. What presidential endorsements actually do is create a perception of bias, a perception of non-independence. ending them is a principled decision, and it's the right one. Eugene Meyer, the publisher of the Washington Post from 1933 to 1946, thought the same, and he was right. By itself, declining to endorse presidential candidates is not enough to move us very far up the trust scale, but it's a meaningful step in the right direction. I wish we had made the change earlier than we did, in a moment further from the election and the emotions around it. That was inadequate planning and not some intentional strategy. I would also like to be clear that no quid pro quo of any kind is at work here. Neither campaign nor candidate was consulted or informed at any level or in any way about this decision. It was made entirely internally. Dave Limp, the chief executive of one of my companies, Blue Origin, met with the former President Donald Trump on the day of our announcement. I sighed when I found out because I knew it would provide ammunition to those who would like to frame this as anything other than a principled decision. But the fact is, I didn't know about the meeting beforehand. Even Limp didn't know about it in advance. The meeting was scheduled quickly that morning. There is no connection between it and our decision on presidential endorsements, and any suggestion otherwise is false. When it comes to the appearance of conflict, I am not an ideal owner of the Post. Every day somewhere, some Amazon executive or Blue Origin executive or someone from the other philanthropies and companies I own or invest in is meeting with government officials. I once wrote that the Post is a complexifier for me. It is, but it turns out I'm also a complexifier for the Post. You can see my wealth and business interests as a bulwark against intimidation, or you can see them as a web of conflicting interests. Only my own principles can tip the balance from one to the other. I assure you that my views here are in fact principled, and I believe my track record as the owner of the Post since 2013 backs this up. You are, of course, free to make your own determination, but I challenge you to find one instance in those 11 years where I have prevailed upon anyone at the Post in favor of my own interests. It hasn't happened. Lack of credibility isn't unique to the Post. Our brethren newspapers have the same issue. And it's not a problem not only for media, but also for the nation. Many people are turning to off-the-cuff podcasts, inaccurate social media posts, and other unverified news sources, which can quickly spread misinformation and deepen divisions. The Washington Post and the New York Times win prizes, but increasingly we talk only to a certain elite. More and more, we talk to ourselves. It wasn't always this way. In the 1990s, we achieved 80% household penetration in the D.C. metro area. While I do not and will not push my personal interests, I will also not allow this paper to stay on autopilot and fade into irrelevance. Overtaken by unresearched podcasts and social media barbs, not without a fight. It's too important. The stakes are too high. Now more than ever, the world needs a credible, trusted, independent voice, and where better for that voice to originate than the capital city of the most important country in the world? To win this fight, we will have to exercise new muscles. Some changes will be a return to the past, and some will be new inventions. Criticism will be part and parcel of anything new, of course. This is the way of the world. None of this will be easy, but it will be worth it. I am so grateful to be part of this endeavor. Many of the finest journalists you'll find anywhere work at the Washington Post, and they work painstakingly every day to get to the truth. They deserve to be believed. I thought it was an interesting response to what everyone was saying, is that almost this was the end of the world, that the Washington Post was not going to render an opinion as to who they believed to be the best candidate for the presidency. I also find it very odd, since they started endorsing since 1976, there has never been a Republican that they have actually endorsed. Interesting. And even in the year where they had an incredibly flawed candidate of Michael Dukakis, they could not bring themselves to endorsing a Republican. It's very interesting. And I think Jeff Bezos is right. As I said before, they walk into that room to make that decision cloaked with their bias and their prejudice. In a history of having written articles, their opinions, I shouldn't say articles, I should say editorials, their opinions of where they stand on the candidates. So in many cases, their decision has already been made. And it seems to repeat itself over and over and over again. Now, be that as may, it's no coincidence that the Washington Post lost, I think it's $111 million last year. Some crazy number. And it is free-falling into the sphere of irrelevance. This owner recognizes it. And this owner wants to take every chance that he can to try and create a level of trust that they're not biased. And he's right. I don't know about you, but I don't sit around nights, days, evenings, waiting for any particular publication, in our case, what used to be the Times-Picayune, now NOLA.com, waiting to hear where they're going to fall on the issue. I participated in the process, talked to the editorial endorsement committees of any number of publications here locally, I know. I did it because I knew that I would be criticized if I didn't do it. But I had a pretty good idea who was going to be with me and who was not going in, just based on the particular writings and the makeup of the committee. Because that committee are all individuals that are posting articles each and every day. So I don't know about you, and I'd love to hear from you at some point today. Do you wait around waiting for a publication to tell you where they are, and that's you go blindly following where they stand? Or do you make up your own mind? It's why I spend so much time reading publications that are left-leaning, publications that are right-leaning, publications that are kind of libertarian in the middle, and looking at all of this to try and get and feel what everyone is thinking about it. Be that as it may, I have my bias. I'm conservative. I love these folks that say they're bias-free. There's not a whole lot of decisions that I make that are free of bias. I love brunettes. I married a brunette. Brown-eyed girls. Yeah, it's just amazing to me when we make these silly comments. We carry bias because it's based on our life experiences each and every day. And the fact of the matter is, and it's one of the reasons I recognized early on in my career, I wasn't going to sit around waiting to see what a particular publication was going to do or not do. And historically, when you looked at the track record of a number of these publications, especially in local elections, they were not good. They didn't have a good track record for a whole host of reasons. Especially if you have an editorial review board that's left-leaning, sitting in the middle of a red bathtub. It doesn't work very well. You're kind of at odds with where your constituency is leaning. And you're seeing that more and more right now. Got a text here that says, remember when the Times-Picayune endorsed Vitter over Governor Edwards for governor, that was awesome. Yeah, he lost. In fact, I broke with the Republican Party and became a defrocked Republican when I endorsed John Bel Edwards. Took a lot of heat for it, but I thought he was a better man than David Vitter. And after his service for 8 years as a Republican, I still say that I made the right decision. I've broken with the party on many cases, to my political detriment, but recognizing that I'm not the center of this universe. There are things that are have to be taken into consideration to better serve this state. So it's going to be interesting. I know there was a meltdown inside the Beltway because their relevance, they feel like that was one of the things that brought them this kind of badge of honor as to where they stood. And when they walked into political parties, you had all of these people fawning all over them because they were part of the editorial review board. And now you have some really shallow-minded individuals that overstate their relevance in the overall scheme of things, and they're resigning from the other. Oh, great loss. For everybody that resigned, there are 10 that want to get on. So, you know, you just got to kind of laugh about this. And I'm going to ask Ron Fauché about his thoughts about this as well. It's going to be interesting to see where this all breaks. But when you have a track record of being only endorsing Democrats since they started endorsing consistently since 1976, one has to wonder. And Jeff Bezos, actually, I thought he put it well. Step up, look yourself in the mirror, and understand where your reality is, because no one believes you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.